I'm going to read three poems. Maybe not the same experience, The Riptide, and Prisoners of Love. Maybe not the same experience, but something happened to me at the same time, far away. My radio tuned to the same station, which broadcast the Gregorian chant. The medieval polyphony consoled me, instructed me, as would a passage of religious philosophy after I had learned about the death of an old college friend, the news delivered in an email from a mutual acquaintance, the sort who takes unconscious pleasure from relaying such distressing accidents, as if the rest of us needed to be taught a lesson, to have our confidence humbled and our joys delayed. For you, it was the spirit-destroying daily stress, momentarily allayed by the cadent repetition, recorded in the echoing cave of a Gothic cathedral, as if, as you neatly folded sandwiches into plastic bags for the kids, each endless, annoying morning task was also a sacred duty. We stopped and listened. The music asked for quiet and reverential repose. The Riptide. I am neither young nor old. Plenty of my friends have died. Some were thoughtless suicides. Most were overdosed. Although there were one or two whom disease caught by surprise. I am more cold than warm as I stand against the wind and stare out at the ocean, where the titanic currents jostle against the world that holds them close. A submarine shelf makes the giant water stand, witness to its own dissolution. Briny sinews corded together, unraveling on the beach, like a furious hand, clawing at the sand, which it cannot hold. I hope my family has pity on me as I dive into the Atlantic and swim out past the swell, where the waves that will break upon the strand are mounting. I enjoy the way the ocean lifts me up, but does not release me into the air, confident that I'll be all right until I lose sight of the land. Prisoners of Love. There is no station, only a parking lot, next to an underused laundromat, where two men sit idly smoking, waiting for their clothes to dry. As the bus leaves her behind, she tightens her grip on the suitcase, which she had stolen in El Paso, trying to appear like someone who would carry a suitcase full of clothes, someone also who has many friends, even in this strange, angry, and dust-blown town. She has seen it happen. Faces bright with fake surprise, rushing into each other's arms, because that's what people do. The movies make this much clear. In reality, it's hard to imagine how little anyone cares, whether she has a reason to delay before she strides into the unforgiving air, stranded in the seething daylight, making a show of checking her watch and a practiced pout of annoyance, as if her problem were someone else's tardiness and not this platform out to nowhere.